Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadi alladhina istafa. Amma ba'du, fa'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Innad deena 'indallahi al-islam. Sadaqallahu al-'azim wa sadaqa rasuluhu an-nabiyyul karim wa nahnu 'ala dhalika laminash shahidin wash shakirin. Walhamdulillahi rabbil 'alamin. Respected brothers and elders, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with that deen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had perfected in this mawsam of Hajj and in these days of Hajj by revealing this verse of the Holy Quran, Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-Islam deena. Today I have perfected your religion for you, I have completed my favor upon you, and I have chosen for you as a way of life, as a religion, this deen of Islam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order to perpetuate our guidance, has ensured that the Holy Quran and the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are safeguarded right up to the day of judgment, so that does not pass any time, any period, and any error in this ummah wherein we cannot find any sources of guidance. That is why the Quran and the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are divinely protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, till the day of judgment. And we will find ample guidelines and ample directions in the Quran and the hadith for a mu'min, to guide a mu'min in all aspects of his life. Today I have chosen one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a very brief hadith, a very concise hadith, but yet we find that it is most comprehensive and covers practically every facet of our life. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are such that when you look at some ahadith, we find that this very hadith is sufficient to transform and to change my life. This one hadith will be sufficient to change the direction and the focus of my life. In this hadith that I have chosen today, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu mentions, it is such a comprehensive hadith, yet so brief, the words are so little. The words are very little, but the meaning is so wide. The implications are so wide that they cover every aspect of our lives. That is why the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we should listen to them attentively and with this intention that we implement it in our lives. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, you know, the greatest scholar of hadith and the greatest sahabi who have narrated the greatest amount of ahadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, mentions that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions in one hadith, "Man ya'khudhu anni ha'ula'i al-kalimat." Who will take from me these words and these statements? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is offering advice. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is offering guidance, and he's asking the companions there, who is there that will come forth to take this? Further, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions the object of this guidance and his teachings. فَيَعْمَلُ بِهِنَّ وَيُعَلِّمُ مَنْ يَعْمَلُ بِهِنَّ. He will take this advice from me, or these statements from me, and he will practice upon it, or he will teach it to some people that will practice upon it. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu goes forth and says, Ana ya Rasulullah, I, O Prophet of Allah, will take this guidance from you, will take these teachings from you, will take these statements for you, and I will practice upon it, or I will teach it to others. What are these statements that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells him, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, فَأَخْذَ بِيَدِي فَعَدَّ خَمْسًا. He took my hand and he counted five statements or five things that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. And each one of us is such that if it's implemented, may Allah give me first tawfiq to implement it in my life and in our lives, this will transform our lives and change our lives. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, ittaqil maharim takun a'budan nas. That fear or abstain from those things that are prohibited, takun a'budan nas, and you will be the greatest worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, each one of us has this yearning that we must become the greatest worshippers and the abids of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We must carry out the maximum amount of ibadat. And if you ask a person, who is that person that is the greatest worshipper? The common reply you will get, that person that performs his namaz, that person that gives his zakat, person that performs the hajj, that person that goes for umrah or carries out the fasting, etc., gives charity, he is the greatest worshipper. This is a reply that is most evident, and all people know this reply. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wishes to draw our attention to another dimension, another aspect. Ittaqil maharim, Rasulullah s.a.w. says, save yourself from those things that are forbidden, from those things that are prohibited, from those things that are not permissible. Abstain from those things and save yourself from those things. And what will be the result? Takun a'budan nas. You will be the greatest of worshippers. Does that not imply that you should not carry out salat or zakat or hajj or fasting, etc.? These are given principles. These are the fundamental principles of Islam. And we all know it. We have to uphold these principles. But together with that, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam draws our attention to those things that are destructive, those things that will destroy, those things that are detrimental to our ibadah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions those things that are prohibited, those things that are haram. That is why even our elders and our mashayikh mention that if a person carries out a little amount of imadat, his faraiz, his wajibat and sunan, and together with that he abstains from haram, abstains from those things that are forbidden, then he will gain the proximity and closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But on the other hand, if we carry out all the ibadat, and together with that our life is filled with all forms of haram, all forms of haram actions our life is filled with, then these destructive elements will destroy all those constructive ibadat that we are carrying out. And it is very simple to understand. For example, this masjid that is here, or the structures that we put up in this dunya, one is the constructive elements, that is to put this building together, the bricks together, the structure together, and the other is to save it from those things that are destructive, from fire, etc., those things that will destroy this building. Obviously, if you have the best of buildings, and if you do not save it from the destructive forces, what will we find? That the structure will not be lasting. It will be no more in a very short span of time. One matchstick is sufficient to put an end, or to put to ashes this great building here that we have put upon, or this masjid and house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, the mashayikh mentioned, together with our ibadat, our salat, our fasting, etc., if we do not abstain from haram, then what will happen? This destructive force of haram will destroy this constructive actions of ibadat and fasting. Now imagine Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us just two words, ittaqil maharim, save yourself or fear those things that are prohibited. And what will be the result? We will become the greatest worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just two words. But if you look at the meaning of these words, then we find it covers the entire life. What is meant by haram? Let us look at our physical body. This resources that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, this physical faculties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us, this eyes, this hands, this ears, this mouth, etc. All these we should abstain from haram. We should ensure that my eyes do not look towards haram, my ears do not listen to haram, my words, haram words, do not come out from my mouth. We know the concept of haram sometimes in the minds of some people is very restrictive. I remember when we were little boys, somebody asked us, what is haram? We used to tell him, pork is haram. And at the same time, we used to tell him, alcohol is haram. We grew a little bigger, we realized that together with that, even music is haram and interest is haram. Then as we became elder and we began to learn the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we realized that there are thousands of actions that can be haram. A person can class the haram, glance with his eyes. A person can say a word that is haram with his tongue. A person can listen to things that are completely prohibited and haram with his ears. A person can take something and give something that is totally prohibited by Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He can walk with his feet towards those areas and those places that are haram to go to. He can think of those things that are totally prohibited. He can eat and consume those things that are totally prohibited. And similarly, he can indulge in those actions with his private parts that are completely prohibited by Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So firstly, this entire body should abstain from haram. Like we read our salat and zakat and do our ibadat, together with that we should abstain from all forms of haram with our eyes, with our ears, with our hands, with our feet, with our stomach and with our private parts. Here the mashayikh always emphasizes, especially our shaykh always emphasizes, that the greatest haram that a person is confronted with today is with the eyes. With the eyes, to guard his eyes has become today a jihad, has become today a challenge. And especially in these times and these eras that we hear, that we live in, where there is widespread promiscuity, where there is, we find immoral activity has become the norm of the day, where we find intermingling has become those things that are acceptable. And it is with great regret that we have to say that that has become now a trend, that in the name of Islam we find these sins are perpetrated. The label of Islam is given to so many activities today, from the beginning till the end, whether it is the media, whether it is any business enterprise, whether it is any conference, whether it is any dinner, we find that the super secret of success of that is to label it with Islam. And when we look closer, we'll find that the spirit of Islam is thrown away. It is only the name of Islam that is there. And all those things that are against the spirit of Islam, especially this intermingling, has become so common that wherever you go, it is an alluring voice. Wherever you go, it is a seductive voice. Wherever you go, it is provocative clothing, beautiful clothing. And we find that this emergence of woman or emergence of immorality has become rife in our society, so much so that those people that are looked up in society as leaders of society, leaders of the ummah, they are also falling prey to this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. So here Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam draws our attention from towards haram and abstention of haram. And as I mentioned, that haram, one is with our physical bodies. Secondly, those areas of activities that engulf our life, all areas of activities, whether it is our ibadat, whether it is our muamalat, dealing with people, whether it is our social life, when we interact with people around us, whether it is our personal akhlaq, we find we should abstain from haram in all those activities. As far as our aqaid is concerned, there are some erroneous beliefs, if they creep into us, that will render us out of the fold of Islam. They are so dangerous. Together with that, we find, as far as the ibadat are concerned as well, there are those areas that are no-go areas, those areas that are prohibited, those areas that are not permissible. And this is something, alhamdulillah, most of us are aware of. But when it comes to muamalat and dealing, we find that we feel we are completely free here. There's nothing like haram. There's nothing like illegal. There's nothing like something that's not permissible for us. Everything that's permissible for the people around us is permissible for us. This concept is completely wrong. We find this is so detrimental that even that ibadat, person that takes one morsel of haram, that will destroy 40 days of his ibadat. It is so detrimental for a person to take haram as far as the business place is concerned. So even when we are in our business places, we should be concerned about haram, concerned about what is halal, and abstain from those things that are haram. Similarly, when it comes to our social life, unfortunately today, we find the functions of the ummah, the functions of those people that are five-time musallis, functions of those people that go out in the path of Allah, the functions of those people that are murids, the function of those people that make the zikrullah, when you attend their functions, you cannot distinguish between a Muslim function and a non-Muslim function. All those evils, all those customs have crept in. A person feels, I am a person of wealth, I am a person of prominence in the society, and I am permitted, I have the license to carry out my weddings and my social functions in the manner that I can do so, that I feel like doing, and the manner that will prompt me, that will increase my prominence in the people. I can carry out whatever I wish to do so. No, this is not the spirit of Islam. Islam is a complete religion. It is perfected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are ample guidelines and directives in Islam for every aspect of life. So when it comes to our social livings as well, we should be conscious about haram. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not restrict these two words as such, that we find that they go to all facets of life. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not restrict this haram only to your salat or to my salat or to my zakat or to my hajj or to my business. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned here, ittaqil maharim, abstain from those things that are completely prohibited, whether they pertain to my social life, whether they pertain to my business, whether they pertain to my akhlaq. If you look at our akhlaq today, unfortunately, we find that those traits that are completely haram, that bring the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are filled up in our hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me and all of us the guidance and the tawfiq to rid ourselves from these characteristics that destroy a person's amal and destroy a person's deen. Things like hatred, jealousy, malice, etc. in the heart, we find is there. And these are those characteristics that are completely not permissible in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So secondly, this haram should not be restricted only to our bodies, but to all our activities, whether it is our business, social life or akhlaq, we find we should abstain from those things that are haram. And thirdly, we should remember that this haram is not restricted to any place or any area. We are sitting in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we abstain from haram. We are sitting with our wives and children, we abstain from haram. But when we are sitting alone, or we are in the bazaars, or we are in those places where we find nobody is watching us, they also, if we abstain from haram, this abstention from haram should be in all places, wherever we are, and it should be at all times. Should not only be in the month of Ramadan, should not only be when you are going for hajj, should not only be when you are sitting in the masjid, in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and spending some time in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But no, it should be in every month, in every day, in every moment in our lives, we should be conscious about abstaining from haram. Especially in these days when we find that it is the height now of the festivals around us, and people are celebrating. We forget sometimes they are celebrating in the name of Christianity. Christmas got nothing to do with the mu'min. It is the Christmas function, and we should be conscious that we are Muslims and we are believers in La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. How can we dare attend such a function that is taking place in the name of Christianity? And we all know what is the festival all about. It is all filled up with immorality and extravagance. This is the basis of all celebrations as far as the other denominations and deens are concerned. But the festival of Islam, you are all well aware, it is coming more closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making qurbani or making more salat in the name of Salatul Eid, Eidul Fitr or Eidul Adha, or it is mentioning the takbir, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Wallahu Akbar. This is the celebration of a mu'min. Celebration of a mu'min is not to go to those places of sin, to those places of wine, and take our children with us, our wives with us, and say we are merely coming here as observers. The Mashayikh mentioned we should stay away from sin and also stay away from the causes of sin, the places of sin. The places of sin are filled up with the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should go and seek those places that are filled with the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the masajid, the mashayikh, the nek people, the pious people. We should look for those places so that we can become deserving of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and go far away from those places where we find the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is descending. So here Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam directs us or highlights this aspect of ibadat, that is abstaining from haram also. In fact, here Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, if you do this, you will become the greatest worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is the time for us to reflect, each one of us, up to what extent am I carrying out the constructive things like namaz, salat, etc., and up to what extent am I indulging in those things that are haram? And it's for each one of us to draw a conclusion or to make a stop here in our lives and make a turnabout and come and adhere to this advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and abstain from haram. And obviously for that, the very first requirement is identification of haram. Today, unfortunately, we find that the norms and we find that the concepts of people have gone to such a low ebb that we find the highest court of this world, of this country, promulgates a law which is the most despicable action in the eyes of an ordinary person. That has become law today, and it has become difficult for people to distinguish between right and wrong, distinguish between vice and virtue, to distinguish between good and bad. Why? Because we do not have the basic knowledge of Islam. We do not know what Islam teaches, what Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam teach. That is why we find, unfortunately, people that say La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, also advocate sometimes the same thing that has been promulgated by the constitutional court. They also stand up for their rights. How far have we gone away from the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That action, that was the worst action to be carried out by any nation, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent the most severest form of punishment upon those people, the people of Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. Today we find it has become law in this country. We had never dreamt that those days will come. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had so aptly predicted many centuries ago when he had mentioned words to this effect, that there will come a time when you will leave out Amar bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar. You will leave out inviting towards the good and forbidding towards wrong. The companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were astounded and surprised that, O Prophet of Allah, can such a time also come on this ummah? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had mentioned further, there will come a time even worse than this, when you will begin to see the evil as good and the good as evil. You will begin to see those things that are completely evil. You will begin to look at it. It will become alluring in your sight. وَزَيِّرَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ Allah Ta'ala mentioned so many times in the Quran that Shaitan makes these evil actions. He beautifies them and he adorns them in the sight of the people. They look at it as good actions. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had mentioned even that period will come in the Ummah. Sahaba were further surprised and astonished. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, and even worse will come. مَا أَشَدُّ Worse than that will come. The situation will become even more worse, and that will be people will command the people to do evil and they will stop them from doing good. They will command them to do evil and stop them from doing good. Today we find in our very homes, when you stop a person, our very children, when you stop them from something that is evil and prohibited, you will find a sympathizer next to him that don't be so hard on the child. Allow him to do this activity. Everybody is doing those activities. And today, unfortunately, because of this concept that everybody is indulging in a certain action, we find that our children have become delinquents. They do not listen to us. We phone the Morana and tell him that, tell my son to do so and so thing, but please tell him that I did not tell you to do so. It was your very bounden duty to do Amar bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar. But now we are scared to even tell our children what is right and what is wrong. So here the first thing that we ought to do is to identify what is haram. And for that, we'll have to learn from the people of ilm. We'll have to come to the ulama-i kiram and ask them what is right and what is wrong. Today we find, unfortunately, people make their own decisions when it comes to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us, فَسْهَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask the people of zikr, the people of ilm, the people of knowledge, if you do not know. So we should identify, like in other aspects of our life, we go to those people that are most qualified to learn those aspects. When it comes to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most important aspect in our lives, we should go to the people of deen and ask them what is halal and what is haram. And we should do so before indulging in that action, because it becomes common practice. A person carries out whatever he wishes to, then he comes to the Mawlana to get his opinion, to see if it coincides with his opinion. If it does not coincide, then he rejects it, and he keeps on looking for that Mawlana that will say what he wishes to do. No, we should come here and ask them what is right and ask them what is wrong, so that we can save ourselves from this evil. As I mentioned, because of the morality of the people around us, the kuffar, or the morality of those people that make decisions like was done by the Constitutional Court, reflects a sick society, reflects a person, people who do not know what is good and what is bad, what is vice and what is virtue seems not known to them. It becomes even more essential that we ensure that we know the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we learn the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and implement the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, firstly in our lives, then in the lives of our wives and our children. Because it's senseless saying my son or my daughter to go and make namaz or to carry out certain action when I am not practical. The most effective thing is the role model. The person is active in his amal, he should ensure that his children are also active. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that, O you who believe, save yourselves and save your families. Ahlikum nara waquduha an-nas wal hijara. Save yourselves and your families from a fire. And the fuel of that fire is so intense, it stones and men. Alayha malaikatun ghilaz. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further mentions those people that are appointed on that fire are those angels that are most severe and stern. They are not disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they fulfill the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu goes up to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The concern of the Sahaba was such that they have made so, they enlightened the deen for us by their questioning Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the different aspects of deen. They ask Umar radiallahu anhu, ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Prophet of Allah, we know how to save ourselves from the fire of Jahannam. That is, we abstain from evil and we carry out good deeds. How do we save our wife and children, our families from evil, from the fire? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him that you command them to do good and you forbid them from doing evil. Other words, you yourself carry out good deeds and command them to do good deeds. And you yourself ensure that you abstain from evil and command them to abstain from evil. So here the commentators mention there are two duties upon every mu'min. Firstly, for him to abstain from evil, and secondly, to train and teach his wife and children those things, those part of his deen, the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where his son knows what is the commands of Allah, and he knows what is the prohibitions of Allah, what are those things that are made haram. It is the duty of the man to teach his family this. And the second duty is to ensure that they implement this in their lives, and to exhort them towards good, and to forbid them towards evil, is also a bounden duty on every mu'min. This that we give our children, whatever they ask for, and we do not know what their actions are, and we dare tell him anything, because he may become unhappy with me. This is not the spirit of a mu'min. He should be concerned about his wife, concerned about his family, especially in these days when we are surrounded by evil, surrounded by morality, surrounded by those things that call the anger, that bring down the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should ensure that we carry out those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to do and forbid. Though and forbid, we ourselves abstain and forbid our wives and children from those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden them to do so. One hadith is mentioned, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions about that person that is concerned about his wife and children. In today's society, he is regarded as a nagging person. He is reminding his wife about the salat, about the zakat, about the charity, about her orphan and destitute that give them money and give them sadaqah and charity. He is reminding her about the rights of the neighbors. In today's society, people frown upon that person that continuously do this. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions one hadith, words to this effect, that person who says, my wife and my children, your salat, your zakat, your fasting, your charity, your poor person, and your neighbors, etc., he reminds them about their religious duties. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, it is hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take this person and join his family with him, inshallah, on the day in paradise. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may Allah have mercy on that person. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, may Allah have mercy on that person who reminds his wife and his children about the religious obligations, and it is hoped that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will join with them in paradise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will join them with him in paradise if he constantly reminds them about the religious duties. And it is our duty to do so at all times, under all circumstances, especially now when we see the youth going in one direction, the wife going in another direction, and the husband going in another direction. You see it in the very masajid. A man comes with his child and comes with his son. He comes to the first surf and his son is sitting outside the masjid. Sometimes he doesn't even come and attend the salat, and sometimes he's not in the salat. This is how much we care for our little children or for our youth that is growing up. And we find eventually that son does not know what is right and what is wrong because the father has not taught him. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives a beautiful dua for those people that assist their children upon righteousness and piety. We assist our children as far as their physical life is concerned, as far as the material aspects of life is concerned, as far as the physical requirements are concerned. Obviously this is also will not go in vain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us abundantly sadaqah, the reward of sadaqah, for that person that spends on his wife and children. But more important than that is the guidance that we give to them as far as the deen is concerned. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in one hadith mentioned, رحم الله والدا أعان ولده على بره أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Who is giving this dua? None other than Rahmatul Lil Alameen, whose dua is definitely accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make dua for me, a very common sentence heard today. Here, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will make dua for me and for you. What is the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Oh Allah, have mercy on that father that assists his son or assists his child upon righteousness and upon piety. That person that is concerned about his child, whether it is a girl or a boy, about her deen or his deen, about his religious practices, and he assists them thereupon. He makes it easy for them to learn the deen of Allah, to practice the deen of Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, oh Allah, have mercy on that person. So this was the first portion of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ittaqil maharim takun a'budan nas. Save yourself from haram and you will become the greatest worshipper. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah one day we'll discuss other aspects if there is an opportunity. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us firstly the tawfiq to identify the haram, identify those things that are prohibited in the sight of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And secondly, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the strength and courage to abstain from all forms of haram under all circumstances. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.